The scripture today is from Titus. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce empty and the worldly passions in the present age, to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us for all inequity and purify for himself as the people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
That is what it's all about, isn't it? Here's the scripture that talks about that. Let's stand. Last night on Christmas Eve, we heard about Mary and Joseph coming, and they're coming to the finding no shelter, no posada. And they came, and the only place left for them was a stable. And there was not even a bed or any place, so they took the feed trough for the critters. And they placed Jesus, when he was born, in that cradle. And they gathered around. But the angel had called the shepherds. And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them before. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The first appointment I had was as a local pastor. It was as I began seminary that Bishop appointed me to a little church named Hillsdale, 20 miles east of Cheyenne, Wyoming. 32 members, and you took attendance by saying, "Oh, Gloria's missing. I see Bob isn't here." It was a small church. It was a very intimate gathering, and it was on the plains of Wyoming. How many of you have ever been in Wyoming? Have you noticed the wind blows in Wyoming? Well, one winter it was blowing and half the people couldn't make it. So when you have a congregation of 32 and half of them don't make it, you're kind of short. And one of the lay leaders' name was Wayne Nicodemus. Anybody ever heard that word Nicodemus before? He would ask people, he says, "You know that word Nicodemus?" And if people said no, he knew he was talking to a baby Christian. So he was an amazing man, this rancher that Wayne Nicodemus. But he told me his story. He said there was this young preacher who had a church out in the blues, a lot like this. And he said there was a stormy day and weather was bad, and the preacher just barely made it to church. And then he looked, and there was nobody else there. And then there he was in the church, and he's all ready for the whole church service and everything. And nobody was there. And he thought, "Well, what am I going to do?" And finally, one rancher comes in and shakes the snow off and sits in the very back corner. He must have been a United Methodist. Sits in the very back corner there, and the preacher thought, "Well, if one comes, we'll have church." So they had church. They sang choir, they sang the hymns, and they did the call to worship and the prayers, and they did everything. And he preached his heart out at the sermon, and they sang another couple of hymns, and they finished, and the preacher walked back and shook hands with the man, and he said, "You know, Padre," he says, "I appreciate, you know, doing church and all that." He says, "The people have got to be fed." He said, "But when I go out to feed the cattle, if only one of them shows up, I don't unload the whole trailer." So there's good news and bad news this morning, and the news is interesting because at Jefferson Avenue, there were no kids for the children's moment. So I decided to do the children's moment for the sermon. So the good news is it's very short. I do have a 20-minute sermon. How many of you would rather... No? Okay, all right. So let's think about the children's moment for a moment. You see, I was thinking about Christmas Day, and they had a Christmas... The Christmas tree's a little easier to get to. This one's hidden behind there. But I had a present sitting under the Christmas tree. I got a present for Jesus. I got a gift for Jesus. What do you think I would get for baby Jesus? I was going to get diapers, and I didn't. I got the other end. You see, I thought, what can you give a baby? What do babies need? Now, Trevor and Kate, you know, don't listen too close here about babies talk here, all right? What do we need? What do babies need? This is all that a baby needs. Isn't that true? Just got to feed them. You remember the definition of a baby? All want on one end and no responsibility on the other. So you just take care of feeding the baby. You just there's the little sucky end, and you just plug them in and off they go. When I was in college, and I hadn't intended this for the children's moment, but it came to me while I was at Jefferson Avenue. I remember them talking about a study they did in Russia. Russia was all organized in the communist state, very efficient, and they had a bunch of orphans, so they organized an orphanage for the babies, and they lined the babies up very orderly in cribs, one next to each other, and they had a very regimed system of providing a bottle, taking the bottle away, providing this much, you know, changing the diaper. It was all very regimented, it was all very professional, it was all well done, and the children did not thrive. They did not thrive. They thought about maybe there was something that they were feeding them wrong, and they tried to change the different formulas and what have you, but some piece of something was missing because they were feeding them all the milk they needed and all that, but something else was missing. 30-some years ago, Melissa is 35 now, so it's 35 years ago, when she was born, she had to go immediately into the hospital. We were living in Grand Junction at the time. And they said her digestive system is not working. So they flew her to Denver, to Children's Hospital. We had to drive over. By the time we got here, she was out of surgery. They had saved her life. But we were living in Grand Junction, so she was going to stay while she recuperated. And we had to leave her for a couple of days, and we left her in the capable hands of the nursing staff at Children's Hospital. And when we came back to get her after several days, she was very withdrawn. She was very quiet until we spent a little bit of time with her. And she had not been nurtured. You see, there's something more to than medicine. There's something more to than bottles. There's something more that babies need. Well, they need love and nurturance, don't they? As we think about that and we contemplate the reality that babies are the direct reflection of how we are in the world, that we all need nurture, I'm wondering how much of our society we are not nurturing and where we are. This was not part of the children's sermon. I'm ad-libbing a little bit here, so I apologize if I make less sense than normal. But I thought about that, and I thought about that nurturing, and then I thought about what we just sang. A little town of Bethlehem. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. And there's a piece of that that we need to acknowledge and be aware of. Where is it that God needs to instill our hearts? And where is it that we need to take that nurturance and offer it to others who are not receiving it? Places where there are those needs, whether babies or babies of any age. How are we nurturing them? The good news is that's the end of the sermon. How's that for this morning? Amen. Thanks a lot.